I wanna settle down. I wanna settle down. Won't you settle down with me? Settle down.
It's Marriage Week on The Brian Lehrer Show. So far, we've talked to newlyweds and long married people about expectations for marriage, generational differences, and money and class in marriage. Today, we're here to talk about monogamy, infidelity, and some gray areas in between. Emily Yaffe, Slate's Dear Prudence advice columnist, is here with me today to give you advice on affairs, whether to stay together, open marriages, rebuilding trust, and anything else along the spectrum of marriage and infidelity. Emily, thanks for continuing your summer series with us. Welcome back to WNYC.
Nice to be here.
And are you familiar with this vocabulary word for the day, coined by advice columnist Dan Savage, monogamish?
Oh, yes, yes. I've read Dan's essays on how you save your marriage by having other partners.
By being mostly monogamous, but not necessarily always all together. And listeners, we'll get into this, but if you read Emily's column on Slate, maybe you have, let me put it this way. You don't have to read an advice column to know that affairs are common in the world of human beings. So give us a call and ask Emily any question that you have. Don't hold back. We are looking for advice questions. So if you need advice for yourself or maybe a friend of yours who's struggling with anything having to do with affairs, or a marriage, or life after affairs, any kind of infidelity issue, whether it's one of the heart or simply an affair with a physical component, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And as the calls are coming in, Emily, here's a monogamish scenario. It's the one that you mentioned at the end of our last conversation, and I said we'd pick up there where we left off today. A 50-year-old married man, you say, says his wife told him she's done with sex, but she wants to stay married. You want to pick it up from there?
Well, I get a variation of this letter a lot, unfortunately. And, you know, often there's something really sweet. The husband says, I don't want to cheat. I don't want to go to prostitutes. I'm not looking to go outside my marriage. I'm really sexually attracted to my wife. I want to stay faithful. But she said, yeah, I'm done. Or he, you know, I hear from... It's usually husbands, sometimes wives, but usually husbands, that the sex has dwindled to once every 3, 4, 5, 6 months, et cetera. So essentially a sexless marriage. And some of these wives have said, look, I'm just not interested, but we're raising kids or we have a good life together or we get along. Otherwise, you should just be able to leave me alone and cope.
And so what advice do you give?
Well, I really feel that you can't up and change the fundamental understanding of what a marriage is halfway through and expect no consequences. One of the reasons people get married is to have a sexual partner. And I advise the husbands and wives who are experiencing this to say, our marriage is in jeopardy. We need to go see someone. We need to address this. Is this a medical issue, psychological issue? What can we do? I can't see going on for the next 20, 30 years celibate but married.
So what if the husband takes some of the responsibility and says, what can I do to make you want to have sex with me again? Maybe he never does the dishes or the laundry and she's exhausted all the time, or I don't know.
This is the Everybody Loves Raymond. There was a scene in Everybody Loves Raymond where I guess he was vacuuming the curtains or something, and she said, I've never been so turned on by you in my life. I agree. All that is really important, just the kind of, you know, has your life just ground down to a bunch of obligations? Does the wife have the bulk of them? And it's kind of, it can be easy to make that shift to his sexual needs are just one more thing, you know, from doing the grocery shopping, making dinner, picking up the kids, paying the bills. It's just another obligation. So that's something that really, but that needs to be hashed out. And guys who think, okay, I unloaded the dishwasher twice in the last month, let's get it on. If the wife really is just feeling resentful and like the maid, there's a deeper issue there. But there, you know, there's also just the larger issue of there's a new book out by Daniel Bergner. I'm sorry, maybe one of
the name.
One of your listeners knows the title, about female desire. And one of the things he says is that safe, satisfying, monogamous relationships.
Whoops. Did we lose Emily? Hang on. Emily, you there?
Yeah.
Oh, we lost you for just a second. Oh. Yes, you were saying deep, satisfying.
Safe, monogamous relationships. At least some research says can be more of a libido killer for women than men.
So
it's
people,
kind of hopeless, isn't it, Brian?
Well, no, there's always hope. Listeners, you have an advice question on monogamy, infidelity, or anything in between for Emily Offey from Slate, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Jennifer in Poughkeepsie, you're on the air. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Brian.
Go ahead.
Well, I don't have any questions now because I've been through it. But I can say this to anyone who's even thinking about it. Your brain is on chemicals, and your brain will justify anything to make it seem like it's okay. I'm a good person, but I did a really bad thing, and I hurt somebody to the point where they will never be the same. I will never be the same. And the person that I had the affair with, I love deeply and care about deeply. He's someone that I've known my whole life. But that still doesn't make it right or fair or justifiable.
So is there advice that you would give that comes out of your experience?
Absolutely. I wish to heavens that I could counsel people who are thinking about it, because there's all kinds of reasons why people have affairs, all kinds of reasons, and many of them are completely understandable. But what someone who's never been through an affair doesn't understand, couldn't possibly understand, is how an affair, it will change you in ways you could never possibly imagine.
Mm-hmm.
It will absolutely change the person that you think you are.
Mm.
And sometimes that's okay for a person, and they can live with themselves, and it's okay. But sometimes it's not, and you can't predict it.
Jennifer, thank you. Thank you so much. You know, Emily, she talked about being in love with, or loving the person, deeply loving the person she had an affair with, who we knew for a long time. We were talking in the office about Elliot Spitzer, and people were divided about whether what he did was worse than having an affair, or whether from a wife's perspective, some wives might prefer their husband sleep with a prostitute if he's sleeping outside at all, because there's no emotional entanglement. I'm not sure how that becomes an advice question exactly.
No. Oh, but it is. When the Elliot Spitzer story broke, at Slate, at Double X, the women's section of Slate, we actually did a poll among each other and our readers, which is worse, Mark Sanford, I've met my soulmate, or Elliot Spitzer, yeah, I paid for sex. And I think that is a very legitimate question, and you know, I had to ask myself. My husband's not listening, I hope, because I don't want him to think this is carte blanche for
either. Just between us.
Okay. I personally, I guess, came down on I'd rather have had the Elliot Spitzer thing, because when your husband comes to you and says, "I'm in love with someone else," where do you go from there. I mean, that really shakes the foundations of your marriage as a couple. Yeah. I mean, I'm not defending the other thing. And then there also is the other question of this exploiting young women, sex workers, et cetera.
Tara in Essex County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tara.
Yes, hi. I have a question. Well, I dealt with infidelity my entire marriage, from the before I was married and then throughout the marriage. And there was a time where we separated because one of the affairs resulted in a child. But I couldn't bear to lose my family after being separated for a while. Then mm-hmm. we got back together. And then recently I was just like, it wasn't really affairs. I just had enough was enough, and I knew that I wasn't being true to myself. And I just wanted...
So you're sharing your experience. Do you have a question for advice for yourself at this point? Or do you want to give advice?
Yes. Well, yes. Well, my question is how to forgive.
Ah.
I intellectually, I understand what forgiveness means and all the philosophers who articulate how forgiveness is for me.
Because you still want to forgive and go on.
Yes.
Together.
Tremendous resentment. I feel like he killed my dreams of having a family. And.
Mm. Emily.
Well, I think there are a couple things in here. One is a lesson for people, and I do hear from people who are about to get married and have a fiancé, male or female, who's cheating. That is a huge red flag. And as you said, he was cheating on you even before you got married. Don't go ahead. For people, you know, who not in your situation, If someone's going to cheat on you before you get married, that's just so bad. And there's probably, you know, you shouldn't be surprised afterward. I'm not as huge a forgiveness fan as some people are. I think sometimes forgiveness gets turned back onto the person who was mistreated, and so now there's this another burden I have to forgive. Mm. I don't think it means you have to be stuck, but you can accept I chose the wrong guy. I had plenty of evidence of who he would be. He was who I saw. So that was my mistake. Doesn't excuse what he did. And I just have to accept that and make the rest of my life as good as possible.
Tara, good luck. Complicated situation, obviously, and I really appreciate your opening up to us to ask Emily for some advice. Emma in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Emma.
Hi there, Brian. Thank you for having me. My question for Emily is that, well, I've been very good friends with a man that we've developed feelings for each other. I'm single, and he's married, very happily married. But over the course of the last 2 years, we've become very good friends. And, of course, the obvious came up, the attraction. And we actually talked about it, and we're working very hard, and we haven't done anything. Of course, everyone around us doesn't believe that, but we haven't. But we think about each other all the time. So I guess my question is, as much as I care for this man and his family, is this damaging just by my presence in this? I mean, guys are allowed to have female friends, but still, is it not an affair if it's going on in your head?
Well, good for you for examining this. I would say this is one of those cases, as much as you two really enjoy each other as friends, you've crossed a line. You know it. You've emotionally crossed a line. You're dancing around your attraction. Now your relationship is about do we, don't we, or we haven't. Why do people assume we have? Because they can see all the vibrations going on. And I know it's a loss. I think you need to just step back from this relationship. And if you need to end it, you need to end it. You haven't messed up the guy's marriage yet. You haven't become the other woman yet. You're on the verge of it, and any of the benefits of the relationship are just going to turn really ugly if you continue.
Yeah, that's what I kind of thought. I wanted to hear something else, but I kind of had a feeling. Thank you so much.
Thank you
very
much.
Well, thank you for calling.
See, we can get one more in here. Jeffrey in Washington Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jeffrey.
How you doing? I have a question for Emily. I've been in a relationship with a woman for 3 years. We never had great sex. We seemed just to have a problem sexually. Nothing's wrong with either of us. It just seemed like there's some incompatibility. But we continued the relationship, and we discovered we had so many things in common, and we're like really good friends, and I really love her a lot. But we just don't have really good sex. And I haven't cheated, and she hasn't cheated. But because we don't have that sexual attraction, it's always looming. And my problem is this woman is a woman that I truly love, and I don't know if I would find another woman like her. But we don't have the sexual part.
Is the question, should you get married? Is that the question?
Not necessarily get married. I'm just like, I don't know what to do about it. I don't know if I could cheat or should I try to find a solution for our problem or whatever.
And Emily, we have 30 seconds for you to solve Jeffrey's complicated problem.
Really good dilemma. I don't know if it's mechanical, style. You can work on that. I mean, it sounds kind of odd to work on sex, but you can try things to try to set off new sparks. The other part of it is you have to weigh how important sex is to you and if ultimately sexual frustration is going to kill the good part of the relationship.
Jeffrey, thanks for your call. Good luck. Thanks to everybody for calling with your advice questions for Emily this week. Emily Yaffe will be back next Thursday at this same time to continue her Dear Prudence series here on The Brian Lehrer Show. Emily, thank you so much. And we will talk about things other than marriage and infidelity with Emily next week. But our marriage series concludes tomorrow with the question, what can straight marriage learn from gay marriage? Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Another hour to come.